Hey, my name's John Volkenkamp. I'm one of the writers of episode 508 titled Ian Garvey, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Well, if you were wondering if Tom is really dead, he's not merely dead, he's really most sincerely dead. Welcome to the award-winning Blacklist Exposed podcast. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and I warned you about this damn suitcase. And now look at you, Tom. Look at you. Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 13 on the Blacklist, Ian Garvey, who's written by big bosses John Volkenkamp and John Eisendrath, and directed by Bill Rowe. And also, I want to point out, after intensive interrogation by Samar, I can finally admit that I am guilty. Guilty. Of being wrong. Apparently, the Blacklist did have the stones to take out our resident Nine Lives expert, and I can't wait to talk to all of you about it. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
Might be Ian Garvey, but Ian even.
You know what? At this point, I just Evil Glenn. There we go. He's Evil Glenn forever.
I don't even know if they referenced Ian's name or Ian's name in the show, to be quite honest. Like, I don't know which one is actually Garvey at the end of the day.
All I know is dude's got a wood chipper and he doesn't jack around. I like him. As a villain, I like him. As a human being, horrible.
Horrible.
Obviously.
But we probably shouldn't do that either because we got a lot to cover tonight. Holy crap, was that an emotional show last night? But first and foremost, before the show, we asked all of you to tell us what will be the fate of Tom Keene.
I was wrong. I'm just letting you know I was wrong. Yet again, was wrong.
I was actually surprised by the results, to be quite honest. Thousands of you responded to the question. Thank you very much. And the results are in. 37% of you thought Tom would die. You are correct.
You were correct.
27% thought Tom would live.
We were wrong.
Surprisingly, 40% of you thought Tom would go into hiding.
Where's he going to hide? American History X Museum?
Banana plantation in Tahiti or something? I don't know.
Oh, that'd be fun. Maybe there's a little island somewhere, an emergency island somewhere that he could have went to.
And since he's technically a womanizer, he'd take Marvin Gerard's girlfriend away from him. It'd be perfect for him.
Why didn't he just send Tom, Liz, and Agnes to this mysterious island and just let them have it?
Yeah, give them the key from the box.
I mean, it just seems like the right thing to do, doesn't it?
Just got to get him to the hospital first. That didn't quite make it. Oh, well.
Too late now. Too late now.
Yes, yes. It was confirmed by the writers. 37% of you are correct. Tom is unequivocally dead, to use their words. Dead as a doornail.
D-A-D. Dead as a doornail. But he is not dead, is he? He's only mostly dead, right? At least for tonight. Stick around, because at some point in the show, we will briefly have a little snippet from Mr. Tom Keene himself, Ryan Eggold, which is nice because just hearing his voice calms me down.
Oh, still verklempt from last night. Oh my gosh.
I like that. I like that line. That line really, that does me in. But yeah, stick around guys, because somewhere magically within this show, we're actually going to have some thoughts and words from Mr. Ryan Eggold about his character. So look for that.
All right. Well, for our next profiling question, it's going to be a little bit, about 45 days. Happy holidays and a break to all of you. So over the break, we want to hear what you think happened during the last 10 months. Not actual 10 months, show 10 months. What happened while Liz was in a coma? We want to hear your great fanfic to see what actually might come of it when we return January 3rd. Plenty of time to submit your responses. Send them to feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. That's the email address. You can visit the website, theblacklistexposed.com, and there's a feedback submission form there. Just like to see how creative you all can get.
Interesting.
I'm sure you'll have a question about that. I think you already posted the question in the Facebook group early, so getting a jump start on it.
I didn't mean to. I was just, hey, what do you guys think is going to happen in the next 10 months? I didn't realize it was going to be a profiling question.
There you go.
I also, like Tom, tend to be psychic.
Possibly. Maybe like Tom, you'll be dead by the end of this episode.
Wow. Dude, I felt like that's a threat. I don't know if you guys heard that, but I'm pretty sure that was a threat.
All right. Well, before Aaron finds himself on the wrong side of a wood chipper, let's get on to this week's case profile.
Ian or Ian Garvey? I've heard it both ways. I did get a few messages from people saying this is my fault. I don't know if I agree with that.
I got a few messages that said it was my fault.
Why would it be your fault? You've always been on Tom's side.
No, because I hated the Liz and Tom relationship.
Nah, you're coming out of that bandwagon a little late. I've been saying this for a long time, so I don't know. I think it's more. I don't think it's either one of us, actually. I think the writers, they gave a lot of interviews and they discussed it and said very clearly that they thought this was the best direction for the story. Now, some people don't agree with that. That usually happens when it's a favorite character. But I am very excited, regardless of how I felt about the Tom and Liz relationship. I'm excited about where this can take the characters. So let's just hit this right off the bat. To me, this episode that everybody's talking about felt like a season finale. We've been building to this climax for all 8 episodes, and now we are finally here. So broad strokes, before we cover the crux of the episode and the characters, how did you feel about this fall finale?
I'm still a little verklempt. Let me give you a topic. Should Liz go kill some people for killing Tom? Discuss amongst yourselves.
Lots of people.
Oof. Yeah. I was a puddle of hot mess, I'll tell you that much. When that song came on, the Disturbed Song of Silence, man, I don't know if it was the timpani or what was in that song, but I just got all kinds of feels. Flooded my entire new studio.
Did you really?
I did. I was really shocked, to be quite honest, because through the course of the episode, there's very clear markers where you're like, okay, Red is saying things that you can say. This is a statement that clearly says Tom's going to die. This is this thing that Tom says where you're like, okay, Tom's going to die. And the whole time you're just like, okay, Tom's going to bite it. Tom's done. I'm fully prepared for Tom to go. But that scene in the car between the two of them, I was like, I take back everything I ever said about that relationship and not liking that relationship together, because man, I was just gut-wrenched in the way they just clearly had this deep love for each other that was there all the time, but we just were too blind to see it. Some of us, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that route. But I was really emotionally hit. I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. The first time I watched it, I was more in shock than anything. You know, I think it's one of those things where you get most of the way through the episode, and then as soon as he pulls out the clearly labeled DNA results envelope, and you see his, you know, Tom looking around and kind of putting it all together in his head, and you're like, oh, he understands everything now. He's figured it out, and he's definitely going to die now. Now that's the moment where I realize I am very wrong. But it's still in the back of your head, especially when Red busts in and saves him, I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's going to be okay. Maybe they're just going to use that, and he's going to have some leverage over Red, and he's going to realize he doesn't want to spill the truth. And then he actually died. And I was shocked the first time. The second time I watched it, waterworks. Because I knew what to expect, and I was able to pay more attention to the relationship as opposed to the story. So I wasn't so focused on the details. I was more focused. I was just letting it happen, I guess, letting it breathe. And it really hit me emotionally more the second time. But the relationship wise, I will be honest. You know, I know some people are saying, I've read that, and now I'm hearing it from you, that some people feel, oh, I really misjudged that maybe the whole time and da da da. No, I didn't misjudge it. I 100% believe the relationship never worked for me personally. It never worked for me personally. I think this is the first time I felt that connection to this relationship. And so in a weird way, Tom's dying, I think, brought all parties together. Because I think people that didn't love the character, didn't love the relationship, didn't love whatever aspect of Tom Keene they didn't like, taken away from other characters, and people that loved that relationship, loved Tom Keene, loved the connection with other characters. I think it really – they did it so well in this episode and with this character's passing that it brought that all those groups together. I'm not saying they stayed together, because when it was over, you know, the camps quickly divided again. But for this episode, by the end of this episode, I think everybody was united in, wow, this is really a horrible thing. Horrible, horrible thing. And Agnes, wherever she may be, is going to be very sad.
Yeah, I was on the same boat with you. I felt as this was playing out, I'm like, this is the one moment that the Blacklist fandom, I think, Daddy Gators, Keen Tours, Keenlers, Shippers, whoever you are, for that 8 minutes, I think we were all in the same place. And then unfortunately the credits rolled and then the vitriol started coming out again. And it was like, come on. Let's not talk about Tom anymore. There's 100 plus people that just put their hearts and souls into this fantastic episode. Let's talk about those people and not all this pent up BS from the last 5 years, because that was, I think it was a series finale quality, to be quite honest. I almost felt like it was a series finale, just with the whole, you know, the timpani and the song, and it was like, bum, bum, and then it was like, oh, okay, we got like a little bit more here, like the denouement kind of thing, and it was like, oh, crap, we're going 10 months into the future. It's like a brand new show coming back in January. Brand new show.
Yeah, I don't know about brand new show.
It could be a brand new show. We don't even know if the post office exists anymore.
That's true. We don't know what the future holds.
We don't even know where Red and Liz are. You know, they could be on that magical island.
It could be purgatory.
Could be a dream.
Purgatory. You never know. All right. So overall, we're going to get into a lot of details about this episode. We still got a lot to cover, and we both did love this episode. But
true story. I was listening to the Sound of Silence song from Disturbed on the train this morning going into work. And I started tearing up, and someone asked me what was wrong. It was like, oh my God, it was so emotional. Still crying about it a little bit.
You're like, I'm still crying about a TV show. And they looked at you like, you're a weirdo, right?
And they were like, oh no, we get it. We watch Grey's.
Aw, I don't understand that reference. But we can't just ignore the one issue that we both said, you and I both said, because we're going to gush about this episode for a while. So we need to knock out the one thing that did bother us right off the bat.
The guy's name, the guy's name that we can't even pronounce, Ian or Ian, knows more information than we do.
We agreed. So you can't back out of this, my friend. I don't care how excited you are. We said we'd be very frustrated if by the end of this episode, no matter what happened, there was no resolution with the bones. And I still know more about velociraptors than I do about those damn bones.
Here's the thing, though. I'll make this point. I'm in agreement with you that I'm a little bit miffed that I didn't get something, at least male or female, from the suitcase and the bone story. I agree with you on that. However, I think what the writers did with this episode...
Is this backtracking?
No, it's not backtracking. I think...
That was my Katarina as Red voice. I was just doing that for you.
That was nice. I appreciate that. Yeah, you're welcome. But I think what the writers did with this episode was just open up the door for me to ask about 10 different questions that I've completely forgotten the suitcase even exists. Like, now I'm like, well, what happened to Wrestler the last 10 months? What about Cooper? What about Samar? Are they even in the post office? Does the post office even exist? Or, you know, Red sitting by her bedside this entire time for 10 months, that's something a father would do, or a mother, because that theory might still be plausible. But at the same time, I have all of these new questions that I'm not so concerned about the suitcase answer at this point. I'm almost like, I'll just wait another 8 episodes for it to come out again, because there's so much more immediate answers I need now that I forget about the suitcase even existing.
Yeah, I'm not there. A guy died for it. I want something out of it. So look, I'm perfectly clear. Love the episode. Didn't detract from my enjoyment of the episode, but it is a little bit, it's an irritant. I mean, as much as I love the show, sometimes they can stretch things out way longer than they need to be to give, which is funny because a lot of times they give answers the very next episode. We've talked about that 100 times. But then you get this simple thing where we should have something tangible by now, and I still have nothing. Just give me something. I don't care if it's male, female, woman, or adult, child, something, so we have an idea of what is going on there. And that's really my only complaint with this episode. I still would put it top 5 of all time Blacklist episodes of the 90 something that we've had this far. 97, I think we're at. So yeah, it's still a top 5 for me. Still top 5. Even with that big irritant. And I suppose we should mention we were at the 100th episode.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, the pictures are out there.
Okay. We were at the 100th episode celebration. And I know a lot of people have asked us, are you guys going to be able to talk about that much in the show? And I should, just so we clarify, we can talk about it once we get to the 100th episode. So we can't really talk about it until then. And once we do, once we hit that episode, which I believe is sometime in January, we don't know the date. Once we get there, we will have a lot of exclusive content for you. Interviews with the stars of the show, Jane Spader, Megan Boone, Diego, Mojan, Amir,
Harry.
Who else we got? Everybody. Harry. Dembe. Hisham is there. Everybody is involved in that, and you'll get to hear some cool stuff. So definitely come back. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. So be sure to come back because that's going to be a stellar episode. I know there's thousands of you listening to this. You're going to want to tell every Blacklist friend you have because that's going to be a really cool episode. So look for that in the future. And it was a very cool experience, but we can't really talk about it now because it hasn't happened yet. Officially. It's coming in the future. So, but a big shout out to those guys. Thank you for inviting us to that event. And especially to Amir for a guided tour. And Anthony, just for being a cool guy.
That's right. Anthony was awesome. It was just
Megan too.
Megan was great. Yes, absolutely. So definitely a great time had by all. Super excited for you guys to hear these interviews because it was a lot of fun talking with everybody. Even Clark Middleton. We talked to Glenn as well.
Yes. Good Glenn, not evil Glenn.
Not evil Glenn.
We didn't talk to Woodchipper Glenn. We talked to good Glenn. I wonder if he knows there's an evil Glenn out there. You think he has anything to know about that? Like, he's, hey, why is there a doppelganger that people hate? I don't get it.
It's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. And we get more of him because he escaped with a strange bearded lumberjack guy.
He did, but we should probably start getting into this. Last week, we both said we were absolutely sure the writers would not kill Tom off. I believe 97%, something like that, or 99%, I think, 98. We were way up there. Pretty sure Tom's going to be all right. Whoops, our bad. When did you know Tom was a dead man walking? I already said when I knew it, as soon as he saw those results. When did you know?
I was probably 90% of the way there when Red and him were in the car, and he was having the conversation of, you always thought you were doing what was best for Liz, teaming up with Berlin, faking her death. And I'm like, okay, the last time I heard these words, this is when he was talking to Kaplan, and he shot Kaplan in the face. So, Tom, you're goner, dude, and Red's going to kill you. And then when he was like, okay, I know everything, and now Liz is going to know too. I was like, yep, you're done. That was the 100% mark there.
Yeah. Well,
and I, and at that point, I still thought Red was going to do it at that point. I still thought Red was going to be the one to shoot him. Last week, I was like, he'll die potentially, but it won't be Red that kills him. It'll be something else.
So you actually changed the wrong way.
Correct. I actually changed the wrong way. I went from he'll probably be saved and Red will save him, and then he'll die in a hospital, throwing a blood clot at the last moment. It'll be a stupid death, Grey's Anatomy style. And then he ended up dying in the hospital. So I was right last week, and then I changed my answer. Damn you, Reddington.
It's funny because I think we both agreed, 80% of this episode we could call. I think we called most of the episode, except for the fact that Tom dies. That was really the only big surprise. And I want to say, I was talking to some people.
And the time jump.
And the time jump, yeah. Well, I said 80%. So there you go. Tom, those are the 20. That's 20%.
That's 20%.
But I was talking to a bunch of people online, I have been over the last, this has been a really busy internet time. We haven't gotten this much traction in regards to the Blacklist. People just won't stop talking about it, which is pretty exciting for the show.
I can't keep up with the stream anymore. It's like it just keeps coming in all day.
Right. And I was talking about how, you could 80% of it figured out, but 20 you didn't. And somebody made the comment that, predictable TV isn't good TV. And I just want to comment on that.
We've had this discussion numerous times on this podcast.
It really, really bugs me because it's like, no, it doesn't matter if you're surprised. It matters if it's entertaining, if it's telling the story well. And they did that here. Even if some of it was predictable and some of it was, Tom gonna Tom again, it still was a really great episode of television. They did a fantastic job, and I think they deserve to get that credit. I don't care if you called every single thing that happened. If you were on the edge of your seat the whole time, just wondering or just into it or emotionally engaged or engaged with a story, whatever your engagement is, that's great television. And you don't get that from start to finish on most episodes of anything. So I thought that's just fantastic, man. I really did not look away the entire time I was, typically you can look away, you check your phone, you might get up, get a coffee. I didn't move, didn't flinch. Just wanted to know what happened.
Yeah, and for me, it's the one thing that says, okay, the writers know what they're doing because they had every signpost along the way that even though you knew what was coming and you were prepping yourself for what was coming, and even when they're sitting in the car, I'm like, Tom's going to die. I'm okay with Tom dying, but why the heck is all this stuff coming out of my face?
I made my eyes rain.
It just goes to the testament of how well put together the story is. And it makes me trust the writers even more that even though we get some of those like, this week just didn't seem like it fit into the puzzle. And what were they really thinking with this? It's like, you just kind of throw those to the side because you get something like this and you're like, damn, Emmy worthy.
Except for those bones that reminded me of like going to prom. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a magical night and it wasn't.
I think the Johns are excited to have the 45 days off too from you asking about the damn bones.
Hey, I didn't introduce them. So that's your own problem, man. Ain't my fault. Don't blame me for that. So whatever you imagine the answer to be, it's better than that. That's what Garvey says. Whatever you imagine the answer to be, it's better than that. I can imagine some cool stuff, Garvey. So I don't know. One, velociraptors, as I already mentioned. Two, ice skaters. It could be an ice skater's bones. I don't know why, but maybe something like that. I don't know what the hell it could be. It could be a superhero. It's Thor's bones left over from a big fight with the Hulk. I don't know. Did you hear this and anything pop in your head, or you're still just lost and you just want to kind of move past it and get to the other stuff?
I mean, if I can imagine the answer being it's Red's bones, it's Katarina's bones, it's another girl, someone in his family. For the record, okay, you were talking about the whole he wants to bury it again because of respect and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Notice the guy plants his butt on top of the suitcase because he doesn't want to get his pants dirty. So he's sitting on top of the thing he's trying to be sacred about, according to you. So I'm just pointing that out. He doesn't think it's too sacred because he's just going to sit on the case and crush the case. Bones.
That's not the bones. If he sat on the bone, I would say that he...
It's like sitting on a grave, though. It's disrespectful. So burn on you.
It's probably a bad point of view of my part. I was just trying to give a justification to why he doesn't burn them. I'm trying to help that go along because otherwise it seems silly that they would be in a suitcase to begin with.
So because he says the line, you imagine the answer to be, and I've already imagined what five or six scenarios could be. I'm hoping none of those come true. I'm hoping it's something even bigger, like just mind blowing on top of those things. And those are pretty mind blowing as it is.
I think it'll be big. Smaller. I think it'll be smaller. I don't think
not.
It'll be bigger.
I hope not. I mean, it's the one thing they've said in the interviews, if you believe the interviews or think it's misdirection or whatever, that's up to you. But I mean, they said in the interviews that Tom is the closest one that has come to actually figuring out the show. Like he's the closest one to know what the truth is.
He's dead.
And now he's dead.
So
it's got to be pretty big.
Or small, but subtle, small, but delicate. It could break the foundation of whatever people believe. It could be several different things. Let's move on because we're going to the bones, I'm sure, will come back at some point.
You're Let's on the podcast, they will.
Is that a dig at me? Is that what that was?
Might have been.
Yeah, it was very subtle. Yeah, I almost didn't see it coming like a freaking sledgehammer. All right, so Ian, Ian Garvey is our I'm just going to keep doing it even though I know it's probably Ian. Garvey is our blacklister. And I still think Leva Glenn's more appropriate, but that's beside the point. And what a humdinger of a bitch lister he is, right? I'm a huge fan of villains that do a lot less monologuing and just enact action. Do things. Don't talk. Get it done. And Garvey gets things done. He even borrows this woodchipper from the Fargo set in order to emphasize yet again that the blacklist is not afraid of an 8 p.m. time slot. I gotta say, when there was an advisory warning before the episode started, I'm like, oh, okay, we're using that one. It was needed.
Yeah, twice-fold. Because I thought, okay, there'll be just a little extra blood. Maybe some visual stabbings or visual skull poundings or something of that nature. Because obviously they moved away from the axe cleaving the guy in mm-hmm. the travel agency for 7, 8 o'clock. So the fact that this came up, and then the wood chipper's in the before the title card sequence, and you can hear that... You know, hitting the thing, it was like, oh my gosh, it's like watching that episode of The Walking Dead all over again. It's like, oh, so good.
Yeah, it was really, really intense. And lots of blood. Like throughout the episode, there was stabbing, there's a lot of stuff. And Garvey does a weird thing. Okay, I got to bring this up because it creeps me out. He sniffs a doll.
There's theories on that doll.
What's a theory on the doll? All I know is keep his ass away from Agnes. What theory?
Okay, so people were speculating from the promotional pictures.
Is this going to get crazy?
No, not crazy. But if you look at the promotional pictures, Garvey wears a ring on his right hand. And if you look at that ring looks very similar to the ring that it's holding the bunny and passes the bunny and puts it in the closet during the dream sequence.
Yeah, you said that last week.
Right? So right. If you look at that doll looks very reminiscent of the doll that was from the fire also. So I think there was a moment there where he was like remembering something, like this was a memory release as he sniffs the doll, like a prior time. Like he's, I think that's a clue, to be quite honest, because it looks like the doll from the fire sequence.
Man, it could be another clue. Then I'm hoping I'm right, that the bones are a child's bones and it's actually the real daughter or some Katerina's the real Masha or something, or the sister or something, the other girl in that fire. Whoever that may be, that's still where I'm leaning.
If you assume there's two girls in the fire,
I am going off my assumption, right? Absolutely, that's just what I'm taking from it so far. But either way, sniffing a doll is just some weird ass thing to do, man. Seriously, get some help. Call somebody. You need therapy.
People like strawberry shortcake.
Bad enough he's shooting everybody.
Strawberry shortcake smelled wonderful.
Okay, I'm real close to just hanging up on you. So just let's not do that again. All right, so typically we discuss the crux of the episode like we've talked about before diving into the characters and their arcs, but this episode was really all about hashtag find Tom Keen. So we're going to talk about that, the characters, the plight to deliver the truth, regardless of the cost, and we're just going to dive right into that. So let's start with the characters and music, which, man, Sound of Silence is one that people are really overwhelmed by.
Yeah. But first, before that, and probably one of the creepiest things I've ever seen was a bunch of criminals getting their groove on as they go into the Keen household and they put on Crosby, Stills, and Nash's Southern Cross. Mm. And I think it was actually probably one of the coolest slow motion action scenes ever. So take that, Zack Snyder.
Ouch, man. I just saw Justice League. He did I thought it was a good movie. Yeah, I said it.
So, wow.
Once you like ease up on Zack, all right? He's had a rough year.
I'm telling you, this action sequence was choreographed beautifully, shot beautifully, timed mm-hmm. beautifully with the music. I mean, it was weird and creepy and loved it. Then we come back.
It's very, very well done.
Then we come back from the commercial and they're in the car scene. And what was a pure stroke of genius, if I may be so bold, we hear the Disturbed's version.
You literally said it right all three times.
It just sounds weird in my head.
Why did you need to correct yourself with the same correction? Okay.
We hear the Sound of Silence from Disturbed. There you go.
That's four.
As the Keens share their final words with each other. Still crying.
Yeah, I do want to say, like, real quick, just as an aside, whenever you have like those real quiet moments where people are talking but there's music, bring the music down a little bit more. Because it was really hard to hear what they were saying.
No, it wasn't.
I had to rewind it like three times.
It's called closed captioning. Works every time.
I don't watch with closed captioning. Unless you actually have a disability, why would you do that?
No, it was very easy to tell what he said. Liz, I can't do this without you. Tom, tell Agnes about me. Very easy to understand. You just need a hearing aid.
I am half deaf in my left ear. But thanks for bringing it up. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. All right.
Point of note on that song, though, The Sound of Silence, was actually almost cut from the show. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah. How do you know that?
John was actually trying to find something else to put in there, but thankfully he trusted his gut and ultimately left it in because it, quote, worked too well.
He's right. That was the perfect choice.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Especially when it kicks up. When it kicks up.
Well, especially when they cut to black before she comes out of the coma, and that boom, boom on the timpani. It was like, I just felt like there was a finality to the episode, the season, the series. It was just like, man, I am in a place I've never been before with the show. Not even after Kaplan died, not even after Liz died, even though I cried at those two as well. Even though I knew Liz was still alive, I still cried. Because I cried because of how Red experienced it. But this was just something all onto its own. Top four for me.
You know, are you done?
Yeah.
Because you had like three or four times where your sentence stopped and then you just kept talking. So I just want to make sure. Are you done? Are you good?
Well, I'm just processing my raw emotions still.
All right. Well, let's get into the are you sure you're done?
Done.
I mean, if there's more you want to say about, there's a lot of good music. I get it. I'm with you.
There's a finality to my statement.
there was like literally three finales to those statements. I just kept going. First character, we're going to talk about Agnes. This poor kid lost her dad and her mom for at least 10 months. Grandpa Red has probably been teaching her some sweet-ass assassin skills. Are you good with where Agnes is at the current moment?
Can I say that this is probably... I don't know if I like this or this is the most brilliant thing ever in television, but this is a great way to age up a child actor so that you can make them part of the story again. I mean, it's only 10 months, so it's not, at least Agnes will be walking and talking and things of that nature, but it's still a baby at the end of the day. It's a toddler, but still it helps age the child up. I mean, some other shows could take, you know, credence to this and maybe do a time jump in their show as well.
You talking about Walking Dead?
I might be.
Yeah. Or they could just kill Judith. Whatever. I'm still saying the kid would make a great frag grenade, but that's just a point of view. All right. So, how many people are hating this now? Huh? I'm a horrible person. So, Cooper.
You said Wrestler, it all through season four, so don't worry about it. They already hated you from back then.
Cooper, Wrestler, and Samar, they really do very little here except assist Liz in her pursuit of Tom. Wrestler gets a bit more to do as he comforts Liz and busts down some doors in her name.
Loved it, by the way, but, seeing the two of them back together again.
Yeah.
Like foreshadowing there, that would be nice. Confiding in her old partner.
Foreshadowing for what?
Well, just that they're back together, right? Mulder and Scully.
Okay, not shipping, just, okay.
Yeah, Mulder and Scully working cases together, season one style. Really loved seeing that dynamic again.
See, here's the thing that, the reason I wanted to bring that up and group them all together is because this once again illustrates one of my issues with the Tom character and how he had become problematic for the show in a sense, because whenever he's center stage, the other characters always take a back seat. They get very little to do. They're just window dressing to a large degree. And that is the benefit. You know, some people are saying, I don't understand why you would kill Tom off. He's a main character. He's been there since season one. Da, da, da. I think
because he almost died three other times on the show.
Yeah, you can't just keep cheating death and not expect the audience is going to start laughing at some point. You don't want that. So at some point you have to kill. And they've had too many fake deaths on the show. You can't really do another one right now. So it just and it helps because you've got so many capable actors in the background. You can remove one and you still have others that can pick up the fold in other aspects. You have Wrestler going off the deep end. You have Samar who has her past, which hasn't really been paid much attention to in the last couple of seasons. And then you have Cooper who is kind of, you know, in a weird place right now. So you have actors and characters that are ready to get in and get dirty. And you need room for that. You need space for that growth.
You got Amir who's doing field training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by now, funny, you should mention that. He should be fine. He should be all field trained up by the time we see him next, don't you think?
I think you might be able to even say that he should be the one feeding Red cases during the last 10 months since they have such a good working relationship.
Good theory. Speaking of Aram, because you said Amir, his name's Aram.
Sorry.
Helps get some tracking done through this episode. Helps Reddington figure out where Liz and Tom are, which ultimately saves Liz's life. So technically, Aram's kind of the hero here. And at the end, we didn't have much from Aram, but at the end, we do have that sweet handholding of Aram, or Saram, as Liz is saved and Tom dies.
We didn't know Liz was saved at that point.
Still, no, we just, they were getting
worse. They both were very dire.
We got to stop cutting people off. Like, you don't let me finish a sentence. You got to let me finish a sentence. All right, go.
Well, we didn't know they were going to die at that moment because we didn't know until she comes out of the coma that she lived. And then we don't know that Tom is dead until Red confirms it. And we see him put into the icebox.
I understand that. I'm just saying that it was a very sweet moment as they watched what was happen.
Yes.
They were a couple. They weren't just co-workers. And I thought that was a sweet moment.
As the timpani goes, boom, boom. The timpani really makes that song, I'm telling you.
So, what was it? Timpani? What? What's the word keep using?
The timpani.
Okay, well, you wanted to use it like 60 times. Is there a reason for that?
Because it makes the song. Listen to it. It's not like it's a bass drum or a snare drum. It's the timpani, and it just is beautiful the way it's played in that song. I'm telling you,
it feels like it's your word of the day. Is what it feels like.
Today's secret word is no. Sorry, yeah, Mr. Vargas is dead.
Dembe, he gets mucho action time this episode, which is great, and I think. Not only is he a shoe-in for the next Fast and Furious movie with that run-over, a guy getaway, he also has a tender moment with Red and without saying a word, as Red sits in the car and worries for Liz's life, he simply holds his hand. Another beautiful moment.
It was. My favorite, though, was when you didn't ask for my opinion. And Red's like, how close are we to the house? Stop poking the bear.
Well, there is a really interesting conversation that happens in that car, but we're going to come back to that when we get to Red, because I think it's pertinent to the character of Red and what we have known in the past as a character. And we've debated heavily about in the past in terms of the character.
Agree.
Of Red. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Liz, because here's the thing. Everything that happened really happened to three main people. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Okay. So we've kind of covered the base on the basics. Now let's get into the nuts and bolts. Here's what happened with Liz. She's hysterical for much of the episode. She's attempting to find her husband after he's not answering his phone, and he's unemployed. And they apparently have a full-time nanny, so she knows he should be answering his phone. And they're on the case, hunting him down. They find the motel that he's in. But Liz is hysterical through a lot of this episode, which some people took issue with, some people understood. Where did you sit with her kind of being almost too nervous for being a relatively seasoned FBI agent and for having a history of dealing with tragedy and knowing Tom's always getting himself into trouble? Do you think she was just getting a little carried away here, or was it understandable?
No, I think for me, the one complaint I'd have of this episode, it's not even a complaint, it's more of a nitpick, was just how this started after the title sequence. Because she just comes... I think it might have even been before the wood chipper, if I'm trying to remember how this all played out. But she comes running in from, you know, into the post office, like, Tom, I'm worried about you, I haven't heard from you. It's like when we left the show last week, like, Liz didn't even know Tom was missing. So it seems like she's already been, like, worried for half a day, 2 days, that kind of thing. So it was very abrupt when we see her kind of panicking initially. So it kind of was trying to piece that in my head. And that's where I was, is she really this worried? I mean, we just saw him. He's not been gone that long. So I thought maybe it was hyped up a little bit too much on the hysterical side. I would have just let it kind of play itself out. And then when she finds the phone in the hotel room, that's when you go hysterical, because why is this phone left behind and where's all the blood from? And so it could have gotten there. I think it was just, it started out of the gate a little bit, maybe too amped.
Yeah, I actually understand that argument from people. I do think it probably started a little hysterical. But, you know, at the same token, there's always something going on and somebody's getting kidnapped. And at some point, it's just going to be a fracturing of your psyche.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, at some point, you're just overwhelmed. And she had it really good for quite some time, for at least, you know, 8 episodes, however long that time frame was. So I think she had gone back to a level of normalcy to a degree. So I could almost understand it, because nothing had happened for some time. They just got married. Things were great. And now Tom's missing. You know, she's upset.
She's got every right to be upset.
Absolutely. Well, later on, this is where I giggle. Tom calls her and does exactly what Tom does by telling her to grab Agnes and meet him at the house and the apartment. The apartment we all know will come into play in the flash forward, and boy, does it, as Liz and Tom are captured and tortured by Garvey. I kind of want to point out, it took 6 goons to hold Liz back from whooping on Garvey, by the way.
She is a badass.
Yeah, so give her some credit, all right? She was ready to throw down. She didn't care.
I also want to point out that he's telling her to go to the address that is clearly marked on the suitcase that we were clearly shown was on the suitcase in a camera shot. So mm-hmm. We're like, oh, that's how Ian Garvey found the place, because he knew the address of where they lived. Because you said, I have a wife and a kid. Tom gonna Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that came back. Yeah. Thanks for telling him you got leverage, buddy. Anyway, and then Tom, of course, hey, meet me at the house. Meet me at the one place people could definitely find us. Great, great plan. That's beside the point. I don't want to pick on him too much, because I'll wait until I get the time to do that. But I just want to, from there, Liz is hit with head trauma. Blacks out several times. She's on the brink of a coma, and unfortunately, she cannot help with this ensuing battle. So by the end of the episode, she ends up in a coma, and we will come back to this. But were you kind of surprised that played out that way?
with Liz?
Getting the head trauma itself or the coma or the combo? I mean, I didn't think the head trauma from the way it was shot, and it didn't look like she like hit her head on the edge of a table. It looked like she just hit the floor, and she wasn't like hit over the head. So I don't know if the head wound itself was as extreme as they made it out to be based on the stuff that was in the scene. But I know that they had to do that in order to make the time jump work for the coma perspective. Because there was a point where she was actually almost up on her knees, like hands and knees, trying to get up before she fell back down again. So I don't know if that's just because the room was spinning. Because it looked like she was attempting to get back up, and then she's like, oh, look at Tom. He's taking care of me. He's my husband. I love him. I'm just going to lay back down.
Yeah, I don't think that's what I got. I thought they actually played it very smart. She did suffer from head trauma. She couldn't gain her faculties enough to help, and that's why she was so out of it. And I thought it was handled pretty well, actually. Red. Okay, so moving on, because we're going to come back to Liz, obviously. Obviously, we've got yet another flash forward to deal with. So we'll come back to her when we get to, you know, that ending. Red spends most of the episode just trying to get them bones. We don't, once again, learn much about those bones. And I mean, by not much, I mean absolutely nothing. Got nothing. But we do get some semblance of the importance to Red. Dembe tells him repeatedly that he needs to just tell them the truth. And he also says, point blank, that he's lying to them. Both Tom and Liz. Now, Red made the comment that it's a secret, not a lie. And, of course, you know, everybody disagrees with that statement. So, do you think there is enough in this episode to say goodbye to the Red doesn't lie to Liz argument?
I would say I thought we had that already. Because if he is her father, then technically he lied to Liz back in season one.
No,
are you my father? No. I'm not going to play your stupid semantics card anymore.
It's not semantics. It's the truth.
Biological versus raised, nature versus nurture, blah, blah, blah.
That doesn't break that down. Do you think this would definitively break that down? Because I would say if you, you know, not that good.
No, not necessarily, because he said it's a secret, not a lie. So from his point of view, it's probably not a lie. It's probably a secret he's protecting her from. And if he's a father, then that's exactly what a father would do. Protect your people you love at any cost. So no, I don't think it's a lie. Demi may think it's a lie, but to him, it's not a lie. So in Red's mind, it's still telling the truth.
But would you see what he was doing as a lie? Is what I'm asking.
I don't know. Would you say that is information to make that determination?
If you consider withholding a secret a lie?
No, not if I know it's to seriously protect somebody. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example.
Yeah, tell us your secrets, man. Seriously. Anything you want to let rip, go.
Let's say that.
Can I blackmail you?
You have a parent.
I promise. This is just confidential. Confidential. No one will ever hear it.
Let's say you have a parent, right? And the parent passes away. But for some reason, you...
No! New example.
No.
I don't want that one. My mom and dad are fine.
This is important. You have a parent who passes away, and let's say you knew, for some reason, you knew that that person was an alcoholic. But like a daughter, and you're like the husband, right, of this daughter, and that person was an alcoholic, and you're sitting there holding on to this knowledge that you knew that her dad was an alcoholic. But she never knew. Like, it was protected and shielded from her entire life. Like, would you be the one to say, you know, give her that information and then ruin the vision or the hopes of that person because you felt like it was... In that case, no, it's not lying. It's protecting that person from ultimate tragedy because they have this vision of what the parent would have been. But if you say, yep, they were an alcoholic, so everything you knew about him was a lie, well, that just destroys that person. So that's not lying. That's protecting.
I mean, I would tell them because that could be passed through the lineage. You know, that could be a genetic problem. So I would tell them because they need to know. I think if you need to know something don't tell them, it's a lie.
I came up with an example on the spot. Okay.
No. I'm just saying the way that I would define it is if it's need to know information and you don't tell them, if it affects your future well-being or something along those lines and you don't tell them, that would be a lie to me. That's a lie. Where I come from. I mean, in Troy's world. Apparently, we just keep secrets all over the place. If his kids are listening, you might want to start going through his drawers because I think he's hiding some stuff from you.
Withholding information isn't necessarily a lie.
Good to know, quote unquote, friend. All right. So I think there's going to be a lot of debates over that, because I think there is a strong argument to be made that that obliterates that theory. But I also see what you're saying, that it's all about point of view. And Red's point of view is that it's a secret, not a lie. So I get what you're saying.
Right. It's a zero-sum game. We're assuming the zero-sum game, as Red pointed out. But mm-hmm. maybe because we don't know enough information, it's probably not a bad thing. It's a bad it's a bad thing if Liz found out, and that's why it's a protection game, not a lying game.
Tom still deemed it important enough to tell Liz. He didn't think it was, you know, he didn't flip-flop on his point of view. I'm not saying he was right, because look how he ended up. But he did. He didn't waver on what he thought should be done. So it feels more like a lie to me.
But it's also whatever. One of those situations where if you get an answer, part of the story, it's how you're interpreting the information without getting the full story.
True.
So you're basically giving someone else's secret away without them getting the benefit of the doubt to explain the situation in full, in context. So in that case, Tom is really no better than Red, because he could be putting Liz's life in moral danger in that situation if he does end up telling her, because he doesn't have the full context.
All right. Well, I think we spent enough on this one.
Truth. So, the truth could hurt as much as keeping the truth from them.
Yeah. At some point, well, how do you feel about this? Some people are really bug that this is still even a thing. Like, why at this point, 5 years in, he should come clean at least to somebody for the audience's sake and give some answers or some context of what this is. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like that's not getting done and it's at some point going to be a detriment to the show?
I felt that they addressed it with Dembe. Why don't you just tell her? Red's like, I don't know. I don't know why I can't tell her.
No. I get that. I'm saying at some point, do you feel...
No.
Like, here's what I think. What I see from the audience. The audience is getting frustrated.
I swear.
You got to let me finish the sentence. I swear. You have to let me finish the sentence.
Never. You already asked the question. No. They don't have to give the answer. They give the answer. I am confident at this point that if they give the answer, it ends the show.
I don't need a definitive answer, but you have to give something more. You know, the thing about the truth is you have to unravel it. You don't just save everything for that final episode. I feel like there's too many things floating around. Some of them need to be touched on or elaborated on, or it's going to frustrate the audience. I see it happening.
They
it's all over the internet.
Answer.
I see it happening.
They gave you an answer at the end of season 4. He's the dad.
But people don't want to accept it.
That's on the people. They gave you an answer.
That.
So you can't say that they're not giving you something. They gave you an answer.
I can. They've got 8 episodes of Bones. There's no answer. I can say that. I think it's a legitimate argument that sometimes you need to give a little bit more than what's being gotten, especially in this respect, because it's been frustrating for many fans.
I think it was frustrating just because it was the whole daddy sequence play out, which was the frustrating part. I think the Bones, like I said, I think it's interesting. I'm okay waiting another 8 episodes because apparently whatever's in that damn suitcase is super important to the mythology of the show, because Tom was killed for it at the end of the day. So I'm more than willing to wait to find an answer of what's in there, because I know that once I know that answer, it's probably going to be no more Blacklist.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move on from there. We will also finally, since I had to fight to even speak a sentence, God, I'm going to go get my...
This is what happens when you travel for 4 days with a person.
No, this is what happens when somebody won't shut up. Well, we also finally get a very layered and moving conversation between Red and Tom. I want to talk about this because it was great. Normally, when you're having shootouts and stuff like that, or you have one character that knows something the other character needs to know, they get in an area and they don't talk, or they say they can't talk. It happens on Blacklist all the time. And it's basically it's cast aside. It's not really dealt with. Here, I thought they actually discussed their issues to varying degrees. Red tells him why he feels he's unreliable. I hired you to do the job. The rules were explicit and you violated them. You know, they have this conversation and I thought it was just wonderfully done. And it also, I mean, yeah, gives you a little scare for, you know, what's going to happen with Tom. But I felt like this was a conversation that I would have liked to have seen played out more over the course of the series between Tom and Red, because I really enjoyed this back and forth between the two of them and a real emotional character moment about, you know, opening up about what they're each thinking.
This happened twice already in the series. The first time it happened was when they're sitting in the restaurant and you get the reveal that Red hired Tom to begin with. They're having that same kind of conversation at that moment. And then you get the answer, I believe it was in season 4, when Tom rushes in. It's like, oh, because I don't have daddy's permission. That same conversation was had at that point. Like, you're not good enough for her because you can't follow the rules. So this conversation's happened before, twice in the show.
Okay, well, that's 97 episodes and it's happened 3 times. I'm saying it should have happened more because it was really engaging. It was really interesting. I really enjoyed the back and forth, and I felt like they applied it at a great time, and both actors were just doing dazzling work.
I think that if there was one thing that was a miss for the show, potentially, is the relationship between Red and Tom. I think there could have been a lot more done with that had Tom been working for Red after the boat sequence or whatever, when he disappeared for a while.
Yeah, they just said that. You think it's better because you say it?
Well, like, you were saying it weird.
I said it. No, it's just you have to stop and listen.
You said you just want more of the relationship, more of the conversations.
Yeah, I don't care what direction it goes. They have a good foundation for a relationship. Well, they did, and now one of them's worm food. But they had a good foundation for a relationship to do more with, and I think it would have been more engaging. If they would have taken a little less time with Tom and Liz and made him against Liz and more with Tom, I think that could have been more interesting personally.
Could have been.
Mm-hmm. But they have, during their conversations as they go about their day of shooting everybody, one of the things that comes up is, you've always seen my relationship with Liz as a zero-sum game. You think what's good for me is bad for her, and what's good for her is bad for me. What do you make of that statement?
I think we don't know the entire story and scope. Like, we don't have the context. So I at that point, I think at this moment, Red is truly speaking truth to Tom and saying, I understand that you think you have her best interests in mind, but at the same time, what do you think the hell I've been doing for the last 20 years? I've literally done nothing but have her best interests in mind, at least in his point of view. Now, I don't know if his point of view is flawed. I don't know if his point of view is correct. But at the same time, in Red's point of view, he's been doing the same thing Tom's been doing for the last, 10 years of their marriage.
Well, what, were they married 10 years? I don't know how long they were married. They were divorced.
I was making up a number.
Okay. I like that because I think it was important because there are a lot of fans who wonder if Red is actually there for his own personal gain, that he'll need Liz at some point for his own personal gain. And
it very well could be. I mean, this whole concept this other family, if that even comes true, right? That was the whole Diane Fowler thing. I know what happened to your family. If there's another family out there, maybe this was all a game to get back at Katerina and say, I'm going to take out all of Katerina's people because Katerina's people are the reason why my family's dead. I mean, that very well could be the answer to the show. I don't hope it's not that, because that would be super sad and Red would actually be the criminal that we were told he was in the first episode. But at the same time, it's a very plausible explanation that he could just be a bad guy.
Moving on, we find out Tom was not aware that Red attended their wedding after a stint in the Andes with the intention of killing Tom. But once he arrived, he couldn't do it because I'm a violent man, a terrible, powerful, violent man. But the way she looked at you, the way she loves you, I'm powerless against that. I was actually touched by that. What about you?
I wasn't necessarily touched by it. I think this was partly he's doing all this stuff to protect her, puts time in place to watch over her, protect her, because he can't do it himself. And then he's just enthralled in that moment because this is the first time he's seeing Elizabeth in probably some time. So I think that was probably more what it was. It wasn't so much that it was, I couldn't kill you. I was just entranced at seeing my daughter, Mark, whatever you want to call it, standing there at the altar. So he got a stay of execution because he was lost in the moment more than it was how the relationship between the two of them actually came to be.
Well, I thought it was a touching moment. I really, as a father, I kind of understood exactly what he was saying. That even if you don't approve, even if you don't like the person that they're with, or you're suspicious of the person they're with, or you have reservations about the person they're with, seeing them happy will carry you a long way from all the bad things you want to do to that person. So I completely, as a dad, understood that and respected that. So I was very touched by it. I thought it was a very moving moment. I really was. Dembe asked Red, why can't he just be honest to Liz and Tom? And like you said, he says, I don't know. I find that very interesting that he doesn't know why he's lying or not lying. He has no idea why he's doing that.
Covered that.
I know we did. But I just find it fascinating that a man this intelligent, this methodic, he doesn't understand why he's doing the things he's doing to a degree.
Well, maybe it's his purpose. I mean, if you think about it, his whole life has been to protect Liz. If he gives up the answer to her, like, what is his purpose then? Maybe he likes the chase, the game, the whatever you want to call it. Without a purpose, he's just a shallow man.
Yeah, he's definitely... Well, I don't think he's... you know what? I don't think he's as shallow as we thought. I really thought this episode gave him more emotion than we've seen in a long time for the character. I feel like a lot of times it's... You don't get... We haven't gotten a lot of how he feels. We've gotten a lot of how Liz feels through this first third of the season. And I think this is the first time we've really got a lot of how Red feels, you know, where his state of mind is. And I thought that was important, which is funny because it was in contrast to Tom and what he was doing.
Yeah, it was very much a, you know, how fast to the house? How fast to the hospital? Shut your mouth, Dembe. Stop asking me questions.
Now we move on to Tom. This is where we will spend some time. We get some backstory on Tommy Boy. Most we already knew, but there are a couple tidbits as well. We see the major recruiting Tom. So Lance Henderson, back again. Love Lance Henderson. He should be in all the things. Tells him to be a friend of a friend, to protect her, not to marry her. Isn't this the scene we saw before, right?
No, this was something that... This is the original hiring of Tom for the first time. So we knew of the scene. We never saw the scene.
I don't know why I thought we had actually seen this scene before.
We saw the major pulling Tom off the streets when he was a little kid. Kind of grooming him up to this. But we've never actually seen the official, like, you know, my client, Red Reddington, which we don't know about, is basically saying you have to be, you know, distant from this person, but protect her at all costs.
Right. She's cute. I like that. And but don't do it. Don't do it, Tom. We know what you're thinking. Don't do it. And he does it. Tom got a Tom. So Tom uses his cleverness to kill Garvey's guards and escape, only to run smack into Red. I need to point out this episode, this specific moment in the episode, for both the direction and the performance. Because there, as Tom stops and sees Red, as he's running through the woods, Red's in the car, and he opens the door and he says, get in. And Tom stops, and... as Red's motioning him to get in the car, Ryan's performance said every single thing that I think everybody in the audience was thinking, which is don't do it. We all know this means the bones are recovered and we're probably never going to get any answers. And he really wants those answers. And he's almost willing to die just to not get in that car. And it's a combination of Ryan's face and that beautiful slow motion, that just the way that it was shot was just so well done. I absolutely love this shot until Tom actually got shot and he got in the car.
God, I love the fact that he got shot. Why are you standing there debating this? There are guys shooting guns at you. Either get in the car or start running the other way.
No, but it's a legitimate debate in his mind. I get why he stopped. I thought it was a great moment. Really love that. I mean, I love the direction throughout the episode, but I love that moment. So before we talk about the greatness that Tom exhibits, let's remember the two instances where Tom once again pulled a clear and present Tom. Blood dripping through the grates, rookie move, guy. Absolutely rookie move. And then telling Liz to meet you in secret at the one place everyone knows to look for you in. For the last time in this podcast, hashtag Tom gonna Tom.
I don't know if the blood dripping is really all that. I mean,
what? How is it not avoidable?
Because if I'm Red and Tom sitting up in the attic over this grate and I am purposely looking down in the grate, I'm thinking, where's my opportunity to jump through this grate and bust this guy and take his gun? And that's what I thought was happening in the sequence. I thought they weren't purposely hiding. I thought they were waiting to make a move. And if you're waiting to make a move, you're going to be over the grate ready to go. And it just so happens that the blood dripped. So they forced their hand to make the move. If they were purposely hiding, they wouldn't have been over the grate in the first place.
No, I think they were purposely hiding. I think they had the grate open in case something happened. That's the in case of emergency, because Dembe was not ready for an attack where he was. That was the worst possible place to be for an attack. And they were kind of trying to – they were in the one spot where they couldn't see them and they couldn't easily locate them. They were hiding. They were hoping that they wouldn't know they were there and they would get out. And when you're bleeding everywhere from like every other orifice, I would think you either wrap your hands really, really tight or you keep an eye on where the blood is when you're over an open grate and the guy's right below you. That's just a personal opinion.
It's something you don't think about, though, if you're concentrating on jumping through the grate and killing the guy.
I would think about it. I'm 100% positive I would think about it. What about the Liz thing about telling her to meet at his house? Do you agree that that was kind of silly? That was a bad move?
That was so bad. Everybody knew the address was on the damn suitcase.
It's just dumb.
People at the train station knew where they lived, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody. You might as well just take it out an ad. Oh, well. You know what? Let's focus on the good stuff. Tom asked Red point blank to tell him who the bones belong to. In my opinion, to give Red one more chance to come clean. That's my opinion. I really think that's what he was doing. He was seeing, before he got out of the car with the bones, I think he was actually filling Red out. Hey, tell me the truth now. Just tell me. And Red doesn't do it.
Well, even if he says, yeah, they're Susie Snowflake, would Tom really believe him?
Like, I think he would like to give Red the opportunity so he doesn't have to run anymore. And Red failed him. That's what I think happened.
That's what did happen. Because he obviously switched it out and, you know.
Right. But I think if Red would have given.
Line continues, there won't be any peace, right?
If Red would have given him any semblance of an answer, I think he would have stayed in the car and not tried the old switcheroo. I think he just wanted an answer. And Red didn't feel comfortable giving it to him.
Or he gives the answer too quickly. And because he gives the answer too quickly, he's like, well, that was really easy. Clearly, it's a lie.
Maybe. Either way, he was giving him the opportunity to come clean, and he didn't do it. So Tom pulls the old switcheroo, heads off to Union Station. There he pulls out an envelope that I'm guessing contains the DNA results, mostly because it says DNA results in the largest font available. And his face at this moment conveys both surprise and understanding. Did this moment mean anything to you? Did you get anything? Did his looks solve any problems for you? Do they create new solutions? Do you think maybe Red is a space alien at this point?
The first time I watched it, I didn't think that. I mean, his facial remarks, you know, well done for whatever he was told, right? Because I'm sure John and John didn't give him the answer. I think they gave him something that he could work with in order to make the scene happen. At the same time, the second time I watched it, I felt like there was a little bit more surprise and shock in his reaction than I did the first time. So I think what was in there was surprising enough, but it was also a, oh, that's how that all fits together kind of moment as well on the second pass.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got. I really, really felt like that what he saw was not a horribly humongous surprise like everybody expects. I don't think it's huge. I think it's just, it connects all the dots, and he was like, oh, I get it now. I understand now. That's really what I got from it.
I still think it's huge.
Well, we'll ultimately find out, and whenever the series finale is. When we finally learn out who the bones are. Just kidding.
Unless they jump 10 months, and then they make you wait another 8 episodes.
I was kind of hoping they jump like 13, and the kid would be a teenager. And then she could partner up with the kid, and they could go on the lam. And then you have like 3 generations of crooks. I like it. See, now I'm getting excited for that. Maybe they'll have another time jump. You never know. So now, even though Tom pulled the Tom that led Liz straight into danger and he gets himself caught yet again, he does redeem himself here. He takes a knife several times in the gut. Man, that was, once again, did not expect that for 8 p.m. And then he uses that knife later to try to save his family by taking out these idiots that want to have fun as they murder an innocent family. Bunch of douchebags. His dying act is to try to protect his wife, and he gives his to save hers ultimately. Red and Dembe bust in to save them, but it's too late. This is where the flash forward comes in. At this point in the show, did you believe for even one second that Red was actually going to shoot him based on what we saw in the premiere?
No, because everything was so fast when Red came in. Like, it was slow-mo the whole time. Red rushes in, and at that moment, you're like, okay, Red's just going to take everybody out. Now, Red might still cold cock him differently later on, but for the flash forward perspective, no, I knew he wasn't going to shoot him in the flash forward sequence.
And then we get
Tom thought he was going to shoot him.
Yeah, I think Tom
was like, wait, don't, not me.
And I actually read an interview with Bokenkamp, John Bokenkamp, the creator, if you don't know who that is. And he said that they had asked him, did they ever consider Red being the one that does take the final life out of Tom? And he said, no, we never thought about that because Red wouldn't do that because Tom is basically shielded because of his love for Liz.
Correct.
And that kind of surprised me because honestly, I could see ways where I could accept it. You know, if a secret is that big, I could see Red killing and protect it. So I don't know.
Use the same language with Kaplan. You know, the whole like you did something that you thought was in her best interest, but it wasn't. So I'm gonna pop you. He has that same conversation with Tom, like I mentioned. So I absolutely thought it was a possibility that he would do it. I didn't think it was in the flash forward. But a possibility that he could have finished him off after the fact.
I just think there was a possibility that Red could definitely take him out. But John doesn't see it. It's his show, so I guess I'm wrong. I think he'd know more than I would. We get the touching moment in the cab you already talked about, followed by that sad rendition of Sound of Silence. And I'm a basket case of emotion over here. I think this episode is the absolute best this character has ever been for me. Tom has ever been for me. And these final moments really, really almost broke me as a viewer, I think. So I want to say bravo, Ryan. I think he did a great job in this episode and really, like I said earlier, brought all the camps together.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was crying again.
Did you?
A little bit.
All right. So now we've come to the ending reveal. Okay. Are you ready to relive it one more time?
Oh, gosh. No, please. I watched it again this morning. It was so bad.
Liz and Tom are taken to the hospital. We hear the flatline, but we see Liz's monitor is fine. If you pay attention to it, you can tell.
Yep.
So Tom is not. We fade out, and we fade back in with Red at Liz's bedside. He's reading William Ernest Henley's Invictus. And he says, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I want to come to that real quick. I take that personally as I'm watching this scene and I'm hearing Red say that out loud to Liz as she is in a coma at that point. I see that as, you know, Liz has been a character that has really been trapped between two captains for much of the series, between Red and Tom. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's how I've seen it.
No, 100%.
Very often I feel like she's more a reaction to those two characters than her own character, which I think is a detriment. And it's not because Megan can't handle it. I feel like that's the way the show has been for many portions of the run. Now that Tom is out of the picture and she's going to wake up and she's going to want something, my guess would be some sweet-ass revenge. I think this is a premonition of things to come. This simple statement, I think, is a premonition that Liz is about to take her life back. And I think she needs to. I think the character needs to. I think it would be a great move for the character. But that's how I interpret that he's basically reiterating what we, the audience, feel, is that now it's time for Liz to not have – you don't have that reliance anymore. You're a mother. You're in charge. Take your life back. You are the commander. So what did you think? Does that have any truth to it, or you think I'm nuts? What?
You thought about a lot. I was still like dabbing tears off my face. when he was reading that, I thought it was more of the, hey, she's in a coma. This is a statement. He's like doing subliminal messages to get her to wake up. Like, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of soul. Wake up. You can do it. You're in charge. Come on. That's what I got out of it. You went way right. Deeper than me.
I'm shocked.
I was still reeling from the last 5 minutes of the show.
Maybe you're just a thin vessel. Maybe that's what it is.
I feel a lot. Okay. I feel deep.
Not a lot, because that was a deep moment. And you're like, yeah, he's reading a book. I don't know. Pictionary. What is this? I don't know.
He's reading a book just because he's reading a book. Something nice that she needs to listen to.
To you, he's like reading those magazines you read at the, where you're waiting for the doctor when you're a kid. What were those?
Highlights. The highlights.
Highlights, yeah. He's like just reading highlights like Dembe likes to do. So Liz wakes, touches him, and shocks Red to all get out. We're all like, why are you so shocked, Red? I mean, you should be happy. But he was legitimately shocked. By the way, great shocked face.
Yes, it was.
Spader has. So she asked for paper and has two questions for Red. Where the crying started. How long has she been out? 10 months, it turns out. And everybody goes, what? That's what I did. That's the noise I made. It was a high-pitched yelp of sorts. And is Tom alive? He is not. And we always say, you know, we say it on this show many times. We say it, you know, fans say it about every show. If we don't, no body, no crime. If we don't see a body, we can't believe that somebody's dead. So this time, a show known for fake deaths, we actually see the body on a morgue slab with Cooper right there identifying the body. So Tom Keene is dead.
Toe tag and all.
Toe tag and all. I know some people don't want to accept it, but he is definitely dead.
And he needs to be definitely dead. It's the same reason why Kaplan needs to be definitely dead. Because it takes away from the moment if they come back.
Absolutely agree.
It's not to say they couldn't come back in flashbacks.
No, or you could have a dream sequence or a what would have happened if kind of thing. But, you know, in terms of the actual character, it would definitely take away from this the moment. And it would cheapen the show, I think, to a degree if they came back.
Agreed.
Either one of those characters came back. Love both of them. I just, you know, they just don't belong.
I mean, I don't want to open up the can of worms because he's definitely dead.
Yeah, he is definitely dead. Please don't start that.
But, I mean, it is shot in a way that you could say, you know, maybe because we didn't actually, you know, we see her, we hear the flat line, but we only see the monitor. We don't hear a time of death actually recorded and it just cuts away right away. So it could be that, you know, he ends up reviving, ends up going into hiding, and they just made a mannequin of him and put him in the morgue. Because Cooper is standing there, and Cooper supposedly knows Red, works with Red his whole life, blah blah blah, as you always say. So I mean, there is a lexical ambiguity to the scene that you could think that Tom is still alive, but no, from an emotional character building, where the story goes next moment, Tom is dead, definitely dead.
I don't think it was shot in any way that leaves it up to bait. I really think it was so clear. I even think they took steps to make sure. Look, guys, he's in the morgue. Here's his body. There's a toe tag. He is so dead. So dead. And I think still, because it's one of those things where, hey, guys, Blacklist, you've done this before where you fake people's deaths. So get done this to yourself. Don't get mad at other people. But some fans just will not let it go because Tom is one of their favorite characters. Ryan's one of their favorite actors. They don't want that character to go. I totally get that. I think we've all been there in many shows where they kill off a character. Man, Buffy, whenever they killed Jenny Calendar, I can remember kept watching that for years, hoping she would come back at some point. She never did. Never did.
Nope.
Spoiler alert if you never watched Buffy, by the way.
But just to confirm and reaffirm multiple times, he's dead.
He's super dead.
Super dead.
So from that, let's break that down. So feelings on Tom's ultimate death. Good for the show, bad for the show. Curious where it goes. Like, where do you feel about it?
Spot on. I think this was the perfect time to do it. He's coming back from redemption. He's back on the show. It's like, well, what does he do now? So from a storytelling perspective, you're like, there's not really much to write for him directionally. He's just a stay-at-home dad. So I think the suitcase thing was enough to give him enough of a trajectory for a short period of time. But I think this death at this moment, I think, is the perfect time for his exit. I think it was perfect in every regard.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I want to say, like, I was getting so tired of the Tom. Tom was making a lot of mistakes, okay? And I really feel like Red made it. If you really go back and look at the episodes, now that this is played out, they really did have this all mapped out. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, people, when things aren't going the way that they want them to go or think they should go, you know, they go a few episodes and they're like, you know what? This show, the writers don't know what they're doing. These guys don't know what they're doing. I think we've said this every season. Let the season play out and see where it goes. Because every time it goes to somewhere cool.
Yeah, it's not like you're
every single year.
Yeah, you're not watching Stranger Things in the third episode and being like, I don't like the way that the story's going. What is the stupid mind flayer thing?
Well, you know, to be fair,
you know it's an 8-episode story, so let the 8-episode story play out.
But we say that with the whole season. Like every year we're like, let the whole season play out. I bet you by the time it's over, you're going to love wherever it's going, because they do kind of take the whole thing as – they take it as a whole, so it all kind of connects by the end. And I thought this was very layered. It was well planned, well thought out. They rebuilt Red. They've also managed to work in a time jump where now you've got Red, I imagine, firmly established again. And just a lot of
it's great.
It needed to happen. It needed to happen at some point. I believe Tom's death needed to happen for the betterment of the character of Liz, because I don't think Liz is going to grow with Tom around.
Agree.
So,
and the time jump's perfect. 10 months. It's more believable than 2 years.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? As soon as it happened, I'm like, well, Troy's going to be on an alias kick now, because you know, you got Eisendrath involved and you got a time jump. All that says, hey, it's Alias. So now there's going to be clones?
Dead Russian zombies.
So how did you feel about the time jump?
It's fine. I think the purpose of the time jump was to do exactly what you said. It was to, Red is now reestablished. It aged Agnes. It makes us wonder what's going on with Prescott and Wrestler in the post office and all of those hangling chads there. Gets a Romfield trained and literally gives Liz a purpose now to say, I'm going to go find these bastards that killed my husband. So no, right. I think a 10-month time jump, this is the only time I think the time jump works for the show.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like there's other shows with time jumps, even Alias, where you're just, because that's when I was going to quit. I was like, this is stupid. Like 2 years, really? and he's now married to somebody else? F that, I'm out.
I thought it was great. I love that season. I think that's a great season.
I think third season is great. I'm glad I stuck with the show. I'm just saying at that moment when they said you've been in a coma for 2 years, I'm like, no, I'm done. 10 months I can buy. 10 months is reasonable.
Yeah, I definitely really am looking forward to what we see in the future. Now, is there anything that you expect for this next portion of the season?
Yeah.
Because we've got basically 2/3 left.
We're back to season 3, Badass Liz. Liz is going to be taking some names.
Vigilante?
Totally.
Yeah.
She's going to kick some major booty.
I don't know if I like that or dislike it. I mean, I know it's the cool thing to do, but part of me is like, well, you're a reestablished FBI agent. You know, things are going well. So your husband died. I mean, hey, stuff happens. All of us lose somebody at some time. Is it really worth killing, you know, a bunch of people? But then on the same token, I think she should kill some people. I don't know where I'm at with it.
It's in her DNA, apparently.
It is in her DNA. And I really hope they play with that at some point. You know, if she's going to be Red's daughter, if that is the case, then let's.
You were just as bad as the fans. Because someone says it's in her DNA, everybody assumes it's because it's Red's DNA. She does have another parent, and Katarina was just as badass as everybody else. So why can't it be Katarina's DNA?
Because Red's the character we see all the time.
But maybe this is the whole thing. Like, this is the thing that had to be unlocked in her. This warrior gene. Maybe it was from Katarina, not from Red. Just saying. Me. There are two parents in this relationship. People assume a lot of stuff.
You know what? I'm a dad. I'm siding with the dad.
Fine.
Mom's got plenty of siding. So side with Katarina, because that's apparently where you want to land all the time with every argument.
Because Katarina...
Somebody's obsessed with Katarina.
I'm still saying that Katarina is an important, integral part of the show. They wouldn't have spent two.
Of course she is.
They wouldn't have spent two non-numbered blacklist episodes in order for that to be like a big thing.
Of course she is. Absolutely she is. But I also think, how can you say, why do people jump to that when it's obvious why people jump to that? She's surrounded. She looks up to Red. She's hanging out with Red. Red is taking care of her. Red protects her. Of course she's going to at some point emulate Red. That seems normal.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that there are two parents.
Yeah, I get it. We're on board. Now, I think it was Douglas in our Facebook group who brought up that, do you think that Liz, because she hit her head so hard and she was in a coma, that will be enough to jar her memories loose?
It's a very good possibility. I'd be really excited to see how that happens and plays out. And maybe it's going to be in this January 3rd episode. Bokenkamp in one of the articles did say that the January 3rd episode is going to be more like a Cape May Requiem type of episode. So maybe we'll see in that, you know, some of that memory jogging loose happening.
I'm looking forward to that. I know it's going to be like an independent movie, they said, to some degree, and it's going to be very character driven. So I'm curious what they're going to do. And I think it is focusing on Liz. So we'll see what happens with that. That should be fun. It should be a lot of fun. All right. So some are outraged at Tom's death. Others are very excited about the possibilities. I personally, like I said earlier, have never been as invested in this character as much as I was for this episode. Ryan's performance absolutely broke my heart. The music was pitch perfect. It was, I think we can all agree, a fitting end to a character that might have divided audiences, but really brought them together for this moment. In this episode, they managed to bring us all to the same place, and we were all united in that Tom love. Just a very heartbreaking goodbye. And speaking of goodbyes, because Troy and I were fortunate enough to be at that 100th episode filming, and because of that, we were able to talk to Tom Keen himself briefly, Ryan Eggold, and he had some thoughts on playing this character and what it has all meant to him. How does it feel knowing you're supposed to die like day one? And here you are 100 episodes later.
Totally. It's been really cool, man. Season one was really exciting for that reason, just because there kind of was a plan. I mean, I'm sure the guys told you, you know, they were originally going to kill this character in the pilot, and then it was like, well, what if he survives for a few, and then we'll kill him at the end of the season, and then what if we just sort of found this interesting dynamic and this character that had a lot to hide and was evolving a tremendous amount. And, you know, we're just intrigued by this guy who's sort of a player, you know, who's like sociopathically good at his job and an incredible operative who then, over the course of, you know, five seasons, is develops some sort of humanity and real relationship with Liz, you know, and kind of lets some of that stuff go. I think when you have nothing going on in your sort of real life, emotional life, you put it all into sort of the job, and I think that was him when we met him. So, anyways, sorry, I could blabber on about the guy forever.
Yeah. We know fandom hasn't always been easy on the character of Tom. I haven't always been easy on the character of Tom.
Yeah, sure. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, he's flip-flopped.
The character. Yeah. I love your performance.
Right. Performance is awesome.
How do you take that as an actor?
In terms of...
Because if you go on the internet, I'm sure it's probably like, you know what? I don't want to be on the internet anymore.
Right.
Sometimes.
No.
Another time.
Well, no. You know what? I'll tell you what, though. At least in this role, people have always been very kind in terms of appreciating the performance and sort of... which doesn't always happen. Yes, you know, you've seen the internet, you know, and you know, it's nice that if you're playing this character who's doing these dangerous things or harmful things to the protagonist or whatever, as he has done in the past, and people are responding to that, then it just means that they're involved and participating and, you know, and appreciating it. So it's sort of, in a weird way, you know, a wonderful compliment when people get angry at the character or hate the character or these things, because it means they're invested. And then, you know, it's particularly fun to then go from that place that he was in to this more sincere place of wanting to have a real relationship with her and wanting to have a real relationship with his daughter and things like that, and sort of find forgiveness, you know, for this guy. It just makes it more complicated than a lot of characters sometimes get the opportunity to be in television.
The actors never get here. Is there one takeaway memory?
One takeaway memory? God, there's not one. I mean, filming the episode that airs on Wednesday was hard for a number of reasons. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I remember tearing down the apartment with Liz, and we brawled and destroyed everything. That was really fun. The neo-Nazi speaking German and all that, and smashing the guy's face in the bar and things like that. And you know, just the space this guy's traversed has been a lot. So it was a lot.
I want to say thanks to Ryan for letting us chat with him, and want to make a note here that Ryan actually wrote and directed a movie. He's not starring in it, but he wrote and directed the movie called Literally Right Before Aaron. You can actually see that movie now on Amazon, iTunes, and other movie rental and purchase places. Highly recommend you check it out. I laughed. I cried. It was actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be from what we heard from the critics. Again, it's called Literally Right Before Aaron, and I can't say enough good things about it. Definitely check it out. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, and I want to thank Ryan for taking the time and also for writing a movie about me. I thought that was very sweet. I didn't know he was doing it, but he did that, and that was a very nice goodbye present. So thanks.
If you want to make yourself look like Dick Casablancas, but sure.
I wish I was that good looking. All right, we'll be right back with Special Agent Intel right after this. Are you sick of the endless, poorly realized remakes as we are? Then take a listen to Remake This Movie Right, where we take a classic movie, figure out what works and what doesn't, throw a dash of humor at it, and then we craft our own remake. So by the end of every episode, we will remake this movie right. Recently featured as a podcast to listen to by the AV Club, you can find us at RemakeThisMovieRight.com or your podcast app of choice. Every movie you love will get a remake someday, and only you can make it better.
Hi, it's Megan Boone, and you're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
No Reds rhetoric this week because of the hiatus, and we have a lot of Special Agent Intel to get to. So first up, let's check in with the TV Time scores.
All right, well, this episode scored a 9.7 out of 10 over in the TV Time community. 56% of you voted for Tom as the best character of the episode. 56%? Jeez, man. I mean, the guy died. What does he have to do to get more than that? With 36% voting for Red and Liz in third with only 4% of the vote. I would say she's a very minor character in this particular episode until the end. Seriously, no love for Dembe. The guy almost saved Tom's life. Anyway, if you want to join in on the voting or discuss any of your favorite TV shows, check out the Blacklist in the TV Time app for iOS or Android, or visit TVTime.com on the web.
Let's first check in with the comments from our post office, the email box, over at feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com, all the way from Stars Hollow. Yes, Lorelei dropped us a note. Okay, maybe it's not that Lorelei, but Lorelei had this to say. She said that I've been really enjoying the Blacklist Exposed podcasts. I wish I had known about it sooner. The hosts are doing a great job of bringing up things, and I do not always catch it in the show. So thank you. Well, thank you, Lorelei. Appreciate that.
Do you like it when we get snippy with each other? Because that happened. You're welcome, Mr. Cutoff. All right, Andrew Jeeves wrote in, while I still can't believe they killed Tom and put Liz in a coma for 10 months, I was wondering, with Tom dead, how are they going to resolve the cliffhanger they left us with at the end of the Blacklist? Redemption. That the showrunners proclaim that they are going to resolve in one of the episodes this season. I would also like to see Mr. Solomon and the rest of the Redemption cast to make an appearance soon. I only saw the last 5 minutes of the episode, and so I can't give detailed feedback yet, but we'll rectify that as soon as I get time to do so. You only watched the last 5 minutes.
Hey, some people just turn on the TV and it happens to be on, and they're like, oh crap, it's on. Shit. Oh, I missed it.
Oh, what kind of? I can't believe I read all that and you didn't even watch the whole show. I literally spoke longer than you watched.
Probably.
How does that make you feel? All right, so what do you think about that question about the Blacklist Redemption? Are they still going to resolve that, you think?
The only thing that was resolved was the quantum computing thing. And so, yeah, maybe the quantum computing thing makes an appearance in the show. I don't know if it really has to at this point. Tom's dead. Why do I care about his parents? I mean, I do love me some Terry O'Quinn, but...
Yeah, I don't need it. I really don't. I already told you that. I'm kind of like, meh. And the whole redemption thing, I think they resolved it. I thought it was as much as I needed it resolved. So,
I mean, now if Scotty Hargrave breaks out and she becomes a Scotty Hargrave of the Blacklist versus the Scotty Hargrave of the Blacklist Redemption, I'd be interested in a Scotty Hargrave of the Blacklist episode because she was badass. And maybe she'll be pissed off now that her son's dead. Come after Red. That could be an interesting storyline.
Terry O'Quinn and anything. You could actually put him in a whole new role. I wouldn't care. I'd still watch it. I'd pretend like it never happened. That's fine.
Howard Hargrave is the Blacklister for this week.
I would watch it in a heartbeat. Terry O'Quinn's a great actor.
Yes, he is. Justin had thoughts on the whole of the 8 episodes. He writes, OMG, amazing episode and first leg of the season. The unfortunate part is that the Cabal and Julian Gale were not even mentioned in these first 8 episodes. I'm okay with the director not showing his face yet. That's the new FBI director, to be clear. The Cooper tension about his friend's kid did not seem to fit the arc well. I'm guessing that the end of the episode is a future flash, and when we pick up in January with Red going after Ian Ian Garvey, or Ian Ian Garvey coming after Red.
Speaking of the Cabal, one thing we didn't touch on, wasn't there supposed to be a big war this year?
2017 is officially over in the calendar, but not necessarily over in the show.
Well, they even jumped ahead 10 months. Wouldn't it be 29? Maybe.
I don't know. Good point.
I mean, I feel like maybe that might be one of those things. Oh, guys, we forgot about that war. Or is the Kaplan thing the war? Did that count as the war? I don't know.
Or maybe it's still 2016. They don't give very good detailed times in this thing. Is there a newspaper?
It's true.
Was there a newspaper thing last week? We could check the newspaper.
I'm sure there was. There probably was. But who still gets a newspaper? Seriously.
Red Reddington is a man of refined taste.
I think we have had that conversation. All right, well, let's check in with an actual caller who dialed into the post office tip line this week.
Hi, this is Josh. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Oh, my God. First-time caller, long-time listener. Tonight's episode was beyond doubt the best I've ever seen. It was sad. It was emotional. It was amazing. Love your show, and I'll keep on listening. Bye.
Thank you, Josh, for calling in. Very, very appreciated.
Yeah, let's go ahead and check in on Twitter now, where there were a lot of small conversations, but very serious quick ones. TTKSK Raw said, that was a series finale ending material, not a fall finale. I agree with you.
I don't. I think it was a great season finale. I don't think it would have been a very comfortable series finale.
Well, that was a season. Not with the time jump, but it could have been.
And just with time, nothing really got resolved. So that would be not a good series. I would have been pissed. If that was a series finale, I'd be pissed. Now, Rob, at Rob Eno said, I have never felt that emotionally invested in the end of a television episode. Wow. Not World of Warcraft. He means excited. Wow.
Wow, indeed. Wendy Wales said, I've come unglued. How am I supposed to go to sleep now? For Tom's sake. Shouldn't say Tom. I had to swap out the word she used.
Maria Holland is not happy about losing her favorite and most interesting character. Aw.
TC Casa said, I got to tell you, that was absolutely incredible. Well freaking done.
Well freaking done. Kiri McKeffrey is really more angry that we haven't found out anything about the case. What?
Some people would feel like I've said that.
Yeah.
Samaya said, Tom redeemed himself in my eyes. I have never liked the relationship between Tom and Liz, but tonight I got respect for that relationship. I really am going to miss him on the show, but also excited for a fresh new start and stories going forward. I'm so excited about going forward with the character of Liz. She's going to be stronger and better. Relationships with the task force and what was going on during the time jump. So many questions. And it's exciting to see Liz avenging Tom's death and the character growth for her moving forward.
All right, and Sharon Crady said, I enjoyed the fall finale. It was time for Tom to go. Tom's character took away focus from the central characters of the show, which are Liz and Red. I hope Red does tell Liz about the bones when he is ready, and not because he's backed into a corner. Hashtag no
faux red.
No faux red. Okay. I'm over here like way late at night trying to spell. That doesn't work when I spell.
True story for Sharon here. Bob Greenblatt from NBC, who actually picked up the series when it first was on the air, he actually had a conversation with Johns and basically said that the love story is actually about Red and Liz. So Sharon and Bob are channeling the same thoughts here. No, not that kind of love story.
Yeah, no. Not romantic love.
Not romantic love. So Bob agrees with you, Sharon.
Rory said, Ryan Eggold was great and will be missed, but the show will move forward, and I think in a better way. I trust the writers since they haven't let me down yet, and sometimes a shakeup can be a good thing. I agree 100%.
A million percent. TC checked back in and said, after she had time to reflect on it, I have no words. This might be my favorite, the best episode ever. I actually felt myself getting choked up the last 10 minutes of the episode. Really? Just felt it? You didn't actually do it? The writing was on the wall that Tom was not going to survive when they did the flashbacks to when he received his assignment to Liz and his original marriage to Liz. The interactions between Tom and Red this episode were absolutely fantastic. The Blacklister, I thought, was great, and some of his tactics were brutal. Who says 8 p.m. isn't dark? The whole scene in Liz and Tom's home with the fighting and music and the perspective from what I would assume would be concussed bleeding out of Liz was just brilliant. Everything about this episode was great, from the writing to the acting to the music. Just incredible. And a 10-month time jump will be interesting for the second half of the season. I just can't say enough good words about this. I really can't. I think you said a lot of words there.
That's a lot of words. George Newman. Hello, Newman. That was intense. One of my top three favorite episodes ever. If nothing else, it should alleviate all fears about the show being toned down in an 8 p.m. time slot. Totally agree with that. The Sound of Silence sequence had my heart pounding. Did not see the coma / 10-month time jump coming at all. When Red was reading the Liz, I was wondering, how could he be sitting in an open hospital setting without anyone taking him into custody? But then it all made sense. My theory remains that the bones are real Red, and Red Arena Mother Theory is the ultimate endgame of the show. Oh, look, it's one of Troy's friends. I think Agnes may finally have found a permanent nanny. Red and Dembe could, which could turn into some fabulous scenes. My biggest wish for the remainder of the season is that one show is dedicated to Red taking Liz and Agnes to meet Dom.
Yeah, I think that'll happen, Val. I really do. I think you have to do that episode almost based on how this turned out. Crystal Holder said, OMG! I loved it, and it was heartbroken at the same time. It was hauntingly beautiful. The acting was on point across the board tonight. The Tom and Red moment was absolutely fantastic. The people having a good time getting ready to finish them off was super creepy. It gave me a sick feeling, like when I watched the movie The Strangers. Something about having a great time killing people creeps me out. I'm just glad they didn't rape her, because that's where I thought it was going at first. Lizzie and Tom in the car was just heartbreaking and so well done. Megan was my favorite tonight by far. I can't wait till January.
Yeah, I don't think she gets much credit sometimes. I thought Megan was great in this episode. She was very frantic, very upset. And then at that one point where she's just lost her faculties, I thought she handled that great. So give her some kudos for that. Lee off a dice. I'm sure I butchered that. But congratulations on the new nuptials. She said, I thought they might. I mean, it made sense mythology-wise, but holy crap, I cannot believe they did it. They aged Agnes. Side note, pretty gutted they killed Tom.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. Grace Norman said, this was such a great and terrible episode. For anyone saying the Blacklist has lost its edge, just watch 508. There's so many points I could talk about, but I'm just going to write about the big shocks. I really enjoyed the flashbacks to the Major telling Tom about Red's job for him. That was very interesting. However, I thought they were going to reveal something big. Guess not. Let's talk about not getting any information about the bones. Not even the gender. Tom pulled a Tom and got away from Red, but ended up dying and almost getting his wife killed too. Yeah, I was one of those people who hated Tom, but I didn't want him to die. I hated him being with Liz, but Ryan's spy scenes were the best, and I didn't want Liz and Agnes to be left without him. But oh my gosh, that car scene, I can't live without you, just melted me. I finally believe once and for all that Tom always cared for Liz and he truly did love her. I danced to the song The Sound of Silence and know it by heart, and it was almost too hard for me to watch what felt like hours of the characters almost in tears wondering if the couple would die. Along with hearing the song, I was definitely tearing up. 10 months, oh my gosh, I knew it must have been a while when Red told Liz and Agnes would be excited, because she was only 1½, I believe, since we saw Tom in the morgue. At least we can put to bed any theories that he's on the run. It'll be very interesting to see where we go from here. I think later it'll come out that Tom did not die the night they were rushed to the hospital. He probably survived and Red killed him or something like that. Oh, that is interesting. Mm-hmm. Pause there for a second. He survived the night, but Red kills him later. You like that or you don't like that?
I think it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Mostly because I think they already put this to bed. I don't need any more. I think from this point forward, Tom should be just something that
Tom died that night.
Propels the story forward. Yeah. It shouldn't be. Yeah, he's dead.
Great episode, but terrible. I almost had a heart attack. And of course, now I'm just very confused and feel lost. This one will be rewatched often.
Yeah, it's great. Great thoughts. Great thoughts. I wasn't knocking your thoughts. I just don't want people to get the wrong idea and start theorizing that maybe Red killed him. No, it happened the way it happened. I firmly believe that. So, Monica Stolfa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just a minute. I have one more. Whoa, whoa. I knew Tom would die, but darn you, director, for making me cringe at each stab wound. All doubt of his demise was removed when he read the results of the DNA. Yep, I was right there with you. A few other things to note. Tall Dembe crouched under the dashboard of that car. Awesome. Evil Glenn sniffing that dial. Ew. By the way, I refuse to call Evil Glenn by his real character name because he's so vile it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Patooey. I should have been more mentally prepared when it said viewer discretion is advised. So much blood. Acting accolades to Mr. Spader. Writing accolades to John and John. Say goodbye to baby Agnes and hello to toddler Agnes. Great. Terrible twos, huh? That's fun. Music selection was spot on. So much potential on how the story will go forward. I'm interested to see what the team has been up to in this 10 months. Who's going to get to Evil Glenn first? Liz or Red? And finally, and more important, I got a Liz wrestler hug scene. Onward to 2018.
Gail checks in and said, whoever thought of S&G Sounds of Silence would be done by Disturbed was a genius. I agree. We just finished watching the episode. It was awesome. I hope now Liz will have a tighter rein on her thoughts about Red. Tom is gone and the bones and the info are gone as well. Wonder what is in the writer's cauldron of surprises for us next year. January 3rd isn't that far away. Love the show tonight. Just remember, all may not be as it seems. Gail's one of those people.
Nate Trujillo, wowzers. This episode was kicked to the head. I need to step back, catch my breath, and think about what I just saw. I have some big questions. Did Mr. Kaplan know that Ian Garvey would go after the bones? And why would she put Elizabeth at risk by involving Tom?
Or putting the address on the suitcase.
Well, you got to mail it somehow. Why didn't Red kill Tom before he married Liz? Why doesn't Red listen to Dembe and tell the truth? Why would Tom meet Liz at their home when he told Garvey that he was married and had a kid? Why would Tom pull a Tom? Oh, I'm sorry, I added that. Will Red finally tell Liz the truth? Will we ever find out the secrets of the box of the bones? Will we ever find out what has been happening over the last 10 months? Will the Hargraves go after Red? But what happened to Tom? My mind has been blown to pieces. What an excellent but sad fall finale. This is why I love The Blacklist.
Linda Hood Cheney said, why was he tagged as Tom Keene and not Jacob? Good question. Whatever happened to Jacob Phelps? I guess the cabal didn't have to get...
He's actually still alive. He's actually still alive and living in Burbank.
Yes. I guess the cabal didn't get their big play in 2017 as predicted. Maybe that's why. There was no war. It didn't happen. Red's face when Liz touched him was phenomenal. We have to have viewing parties for every finale from this point on. I cannot take this by myself. Having worked a wood chipper, there would have been more than blood on the plastic. Glad they didn't go there. Oh my gosh, that's a different scene.
Now I'm disappointed.
Glad they didn't go there, but the splatter on Tom was artistic. Liz played a good distressed wife agent. The flash forward had a baby doll on the floor. I don't remember seeing that tonight. The apartment series was incredible.
Yeah, it didn't have the baby doll on the floor in the flash forward.
Yeah.
That I saw. I mean, it might have been there, but...
Yeah.
A lot of times they shot that in the first episode and they recreate it in this one. They probably didn't use the same footage.
Or it was there and we just didn't see it based on the camera angles of where things were flying around.
Yeah, because I don't think you got that same angle. Because I think they showed the doll exclusively, like on its own when they showed it. So you didn't get that. You just didn't have that shot.
Correct.
Anita Luongo, I am sad. Tom was a great character. Never doubted his love for Liz and Agnes. I like the son-father-in-law chat and collaboration while running from Garvey. If the writers wanted to, they could have paired him up and they could have solved the hostility, but I guess Ryan Eggold's had other plans for his career, especially after Redemption got canceled. I will miss Tom. Hope Wrestler, which I like, won't become Liz's new love interest. As to me, that would look like two soap opera. Yeah, I don't think she needs a love interest for
a while.
Quite some time, if at all. By Dembe and Red chat, we know now that Red lies to Liz.
I'm not going to be able to do this one. Ritu Parna, Tom Keene, what can I say? Sometimes losing a person makes you realize how much you care about them, fictional or not. I have never come to understand the hateful messages I see about Tom. Seemed like a lot of people wanted him gone, and everything in the preview also indicated that, but I never believed that would happen. Having a Lizzie moment, I guess. So when the blow came, I was shocked. I don't care what's in the bag of bones. I don't care about the new big bad. Why does Tom have to die? Why does Agnes have to lose a dad because of some ancient bones? This doesn't make sense. Given his super spy skills and all that we have seen from him before, the way he died seems unbelievable the way it happened. Poor Agnes and Elizabeth, my heart goes out to them. Ryan Eagle did a fabulous job of portraying such a conflict-laden character, and I don't think I'm ready to say goodbye. I hope there are many flashbacks with him in the future.
And lastly, Judy Miller. There are no winners or losers here. The show has always been about Red and Liz, and it was the time to refocus the show on that relationship. Read the Entertainment Weekly articles about the thinking behind Tom's demise right from the mouths of Bokenkamp and Eisendrath, if you don't believe me. Why wouldn't I believe you? I thought, why wouldn't they believe you? They just met you. I thought how the show portrayed the death last night was one of the best emotional moments ever on TV. The Blacklist can be such a beautiful show, and it was last night. I so much look forward to January to see how Lizzie copes and how I hope she and Red can be at peace. I don't think they ever truly can be close until the secrets Red keeps from Liz are revealed. You mean lies? Hopefully by Red. Love this episode. A hugely powerful story. Best of the season so far. Totally agree with that.
Oof. That'll put a bow on the fall finale.
Yeah, that was a mega, mega episode, and I am ready to take a nap. So that will conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBlacklistGSM. We live tweet during the East Coast feed and use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist.
Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and join the Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or what your favorite sound of silence would be. Is there a sound of silence?
I don't know. You can also subscribe to the Poundcast and the podcast and Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast player of choice. You can even listen from the website. But if you're really on the go, like Red Reddington, and no longer like Tom Keene, make sure you download our app for iOS and Android, powered by Spreaker. You will also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Ian, I, and Garvey by visiting theblacklistexposed.com.
You're just going to keep that one going.
Yep. Big thanks for listening. We do not have a profiling question. Well, do we have a profiling question?
Well, we want to know, what do you think happened in the last 10 months?
There you go. I forgot what we were talking about. All I know is that Tom Keene is dead. So anybody that has a problem with the Tom and Liz relationship, you no longer have a problem.
That's right.
Now there's a whole other problem, because now the people that love Tom Keene are coming for you. And I mean us.
And so apparently they're going to be your army, because they'll help you get the answers to the bones you so desperately want.
I think they're coming to get me. That's what I think, because I wasn't a fan of that relationship, so, you know, pitchforks are out. So I've got 47 days to stay on the run and come back before the 2018 new season starts, new portion of the season starts. So
yeah.
I got to be limber and get on the move. I do want to tell everybody, because we were not going to probably talk to you until January, everybody have a wonderful holiday season. If you don't celebrate the holidays, have a wonderful winter season. And I hope everybody is safe and has a great time.
Unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, then have a great summer season.
Yeah, that, whatever he just said, do all that. And make sure you rewatch these episodes. I think some of this stuff's going to come back into play in the back 2/3. So keep an eye out. And don't forget, don't miss our 100th episode. You will not want to miss that. That will be our coverage of the 100th episode, however you say that, because I think it's going to be great.
It'll be awesome. Can't wait.
Take care, guys.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.